You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast, this time for Wednesday the 12th of October. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Dale Gibson. Dale, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Jack. Yeah, good form.
Good, good. Well, before we get stuck into some of Wednesday's racing, and there's a good race at Bath, we got action from Nottingham and Wetherby as well, a couple of races from there. Just wanted to talk through some of the headlines on the Racing Post. They go with the news that Lamarto has, his odds have been slashed for the Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes at the weekend. Assuming, of course, that we have no more rain.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been a model of consistency this year. He seems to be absolutely on his A game at the moment. Runner-up in the Nunthorpe, and then he won very well in France the other day. Back down in trips, so it was 5 furlongs Nunthorpe, 7 furlongs the other day in France, and back down to 6. But some people could say at one point they'll find his optimum trip. But he's a horse who travels very, very strongly in his races, and he's a horse with a real killer turn of foot as well. I would imagine if the ground stays on top, you know that 6 furlongs is in with his compass. Mecca's Angel hasn't been confirmed yet. She is, out and out 5 furlong filly, and I had. Would have reservations about her. I mean, her Nunthorpe win was just spectacular. It was absolutely spectacular. Didn't quite happen for her the other day in the Abbey, but I do know she did take a little bit of a bump in the gate. Not making excuses, but they can't keep that level all the time. But I just think that lots point to Lamarto under current conditions. Must have to reiterate that. I think it will ride good. It's cold of an evening. We're getting heavy dews. But if it's good ground, and then the best horse will win.
Yeah, it's a strange time of year, I always find, this with the weather. It's so interchangeable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Shalar, he was workmanlike when he won last time out there, off a break. The Tin Man, I would oppose him. I would oppose the Tin Man. A horse who I do think is value here, if he turns up each way, is Washington DC. 14-1. He was runner-up in the Abbey. He made good headway on the outside over 5. He's a horse who maybe doesn't quite win as many races as he should, but I think at 14-1, you can maybe have a little bit each way on him. But for me, Lamarto, under current conditions, is probably the one you want to be on, but maybe have a little bit of each way on Washington DC.
Yeah, keep your eye on the forecast as well. Washington DC, currently 14-1. And on the William Hill website, under the Future Races tab, you can find all of the... the odds for this race, the Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes. Lamarto currently priced at 11-4 at the time of recording, which is Tuesday afternoon. Dale, I just wanted to ask you, as a former jockey, I'm reading the Racing Post, and at the moment I just seem to be seeing lots of stories about some of the top jockeys being out for a period of time. Henry Brooke, of course, and looks like Sam Twiston Davis is going to have a spell on the sidelines
absolutely
as well.
Absolutely, par for the course and part of the job. Sam Twiston Davis took a heavy fall, and... he's going to be under observation. I hope he hasn't ruptured his spleen, because I did that 20 years ago and I don't have one, and I was off for quite a considerable period of time. So he just wants to sit tight and hope it doesn't need to be taken out, because he'll know about it if it is. Henry Brooke did a lot of ribs when he fell at Hexham on Saturday, and it's good to see that he's out of that induced coma, and hopefully we'll see him back on the track not before too long. But yeah, just shows you never know when that fall is round the corner, and medical improvements and the likes of Jack Berryhouse and Oaksey House have really improved the rehabilitation side of things, and getting jockeys back in the saddle quicker than they would have been without those two great facilities. I would imagine that Henry may well be visiting Jack Berryhouse, and probably Sam will be visiting Oaksey House at some point in time.
Yeah, you would imagine. We, of course, wish them all the best in their respective recoveries and hope to see them back on at the various courses again soon. Chester was in the Racing Post as well, because they did a scheme last year with their appearance money where they guaranteed that trainers would leave with at least £400 for each of their particular runners. And it's apparently going to generate much bigger fields. Now, you hear a lot of negative press about racing and the future of racing. And when we get small fields, there's a lot of grumbling and groaning. But this is good news, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly they used some initiative here. But that £400 will be divvied up. 80% will go to the owner, and the remaining 20% will be spread between the trainer, the jockey and the stable staff. So everybody got a little tiny bit. Bearing in mind, Chester had a dreadful record of non-runner rates. I believe last year, 2015, they had 151. This year it was down to 109, so roughly a 33% decrease in the number of non-runners, which was great. People want to see horses run, not just come out because, you know, the moon's in the wrong direction or the grass is too long or great Aunt Nellie's decided it can't run today. We know there's a draw bias at Chester. We get all that, but you know that when you enter your horse, you know that when you declare your horse. But a good initiative from Chester. At least it's something for the owner who's obviously paying for that horse to get to the races, which is a not inconsiderable sum amount of money, along with the entry fee and the costs on the day. You know, you're talking probably £500 or £600 for the majority of runners that go to Chester. That's the cost of having a horse go to the races these days, with the jockey fee and the entry fee and the farrier fee and diesel and everything else. So a good initiative, and I think we must applaud it.
Yeah, absolutely. And perhaps other courses will follow suit. We'll wait and see. Let's get stuck into Wednesday's action then. As I said, we have action from Nottingham and Wetherby to come. Also, Kempton is in the evening. But we're going to start at Bath, where we look at the 3:40. This is a listed race, a filly stakes with 14 runners. Not often we see a race like this on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Good initiative. Mile and six for the staying fillies. 14 go to post. A number of these horses trying to get black type and improve their value. But for me, it's probably about two horses here, and that's Dubka from Sir Michael Stout's Newmarket Yard on a five-timer ridden by the former champion Ryan Moore. Won at Newmarket off a marker 91. Now rated to 99, so obviously Sir Michael's just wanted to go down the listed race route. I would imagine he's had this race in mind for quite some time. You've really got to have her on the top of your list, alongside the other three-year-old Purple Magic, trained by Michael Bell, ridden by Jamie Spencer. Won at Newmarket convincingly 7 weeks ago, off a mark of 83. He's been raised to 94 on the back of that effort. But again, connections feel that she's up to trying to nick some black type here in this contest. It's not the strongest listed race in the world. Three-year-olds taking on older horses. I believe it really concerns these two because they're progressive fillies, three-year-olds that go in the right way from top yards. And if you just had to nail me to the mast, I'd go with Dubka.
Okay, Dubka, the selection then in the 3:40.
Yep.
The listed race at Bath. We move to 10 minutes later, where we're off to Nottingham this time. This is the 3:50. It's a handicap over the 1 mile and 2 furlongs, class 3. And again, quite a big field here to choose from.
Yeah, 14 go to post. Again, a good cross-section of horses here. 1.25 miles. These horses have been on the go all year now. Top Beak, he'd have a chance. He keeps finishing second, but he's been consistent the last three runs. And he's run to a pretty promising mark the last three times. It could just be the handicap is sort of getting him, but I think he'll run a race again. Rainbow Rebel, been a revelation, really. Just was runner-up last week, running into a good horse of Godolphin's, but very solid. You would never rule out a Mark Johnson horse just because you thought maybe the handicapper had caught up with it last time. So you've got to include Rainbow Rebel in your calculations. And then there's the two at the top, Great Hall, who's £5 higher from winning last time. Not had a lot of racing this year. He wouldn't be completely out of it. Storm Rock. I think the ground is very important for Storm Rock. He won at Salisbury 14 days ago. He is £5 higher for that victory. He's still off a winnable mark, but I would just maybe check the ground. Before you back Storm Rock, there would have to be soft in the description for me. If it is closer to good, I would have reservations about Storm Rock. But if they get a bit of overnight rain, I would certainly be entering Storm, having Storm Rock into my calculations. Selection wise, it's just absolutely wide open. There's three or four horses here that you'd like to take a look at. I think I'd go each way Top Beacon at 3:50.
Okay, Top Beacon each way then. Yeah, it's a tough looking race, that one, isn't
it? Very, very tough. And I just think with Storm Rock, just if you're going to back him, just make sure there's enough of soft in the description.
Okay, well, the good thing, I suppose, about that race is that we can get plenty of each-way value as well.
Absolutely,
out of it.
Yeah, first three, there's a bit of each-way value there.
Absolutely, right. Okay, the 4:35 at Wetherby as we move from the flat to the jumps then. This is the first of a couple of handicaps we're going to look at. This one is over the hurdles, 2 miles and 5 furlongs. It's a Class 3 race, and this is a smaller field, 8 runners at the time of recording.
Yeah, tight little race again, one or two of these coming off a little bit of a break, but I do like Frederick, Mickey Hammond's horse, young horse, 5-year-old, one last time off 113, he's off 123 here. So the handicap has rumped him up £10, but I just feel that Frederick could just be coming here with a little bit of momentum. He's a young horse, he's an improving horse, and I'd certainly want to keep him on the right side. Marquis of Carabat hasn't run for quite some time, ran pretty well in the spring, won and was runner-up, and I would just maybe see what the market's suggesting with him. David Dennis doing very well with his runners so far, and I would just keep an eye on the market with Marquis of Carabat. But my selection's Frederick.
Frederick then for Mickey Hammond in the 4:35 at Weatherby. Right, half an hour later, we move to the 5:05 at the same venue. This time it's a chase, and it's over the just over the 2 miles here.
Yeah, interesting little contest. Quite a trappy little event. Bois de Mott from Henry Hogarth's yard. One off 117 earlier in the season. A little bit higher here now. Off 126, but certainly not out of it. He would enter calculations. Indian Voyage been disappointing. He has won at this trip, he's getting himself handicapped to win, but you just got to ignore his last couple of starts. They haven't been very good. It just could be that he's got himself handicapped, and with Dara Burke taking off £5, that may well help. I just maybe want to look at the top horse, Uli De Vese. Again, hasn't run for a couple of months. Richard McLaren taking the ride. A little bit higher in the ratings. He won off 118. He's off 130 here. Just a chance the handicapper's got him. It's just a trappy race without going head down into one. But I would just take a chance, a very small chance, that Indian Voyage might just have got himself well handicapped and he could just pop up here.
OK, Indian Voyage and the selection in the final race we're going to look at, the 5:05 at Weatherby. They're all the selections then for Wednesday. Dale, thank you very much for your company.
Pleasure.
And the Racing Podcast will be back for Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.